Spiritually speaking, welcome. Kathleen Pearl welcomes you. After I prayed, this is what I have to say. Pray without ceasing. Praying is about strengthening you in the inner man to conform you to the will of God. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. A lot of prayer, lot of power. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is obvious. This is our prayer for you. This is the directive that we need. This is the counsel that we need to see, the knowledge of His will and understanding. Therefore, we need to pray for you. Pray for us. Pray that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, according to Colossians 1:9. Now I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. These are the prayers that are the will of God. Now, I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should peer approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. This is the commandments that the apostle is charging those who are around and in his care and the Apostle Paul's oversight. And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have the tripartite man defined, spirit, soul, and body. The God of peace will pray that you will be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we charge that we be whole, spirit, soul, and body preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are to pray in the spirit. That the past scripture was 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Romans 8:26 about praying in the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What is our infirmities, our weaknesses, the things we don't know of? We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit of the living God, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit rises up and you pray in other languages and groanings. For I wish that all men should come to a saving knowledge of our Lord God and Savior. And for this charge, I have committed my life in full devotion to the purposes of the kingdom of heaven as an ambassador of the King. And our prayer life is our spiritual dialogue, our dialogue with the Holy One of the universe. In everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, because we do not know in a moment how things will change. You can shift and shift and shift, and the plot will change according to somewhat like a kaleidoscope, when the pieces change around as we pray, the Spirit of God changes things around in and through us, through his vessels, 1 Timothy 2:1. So I therefore exhort you that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for all men, that all men would come. And we cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you on our prayers. Ephesians 1:6, that many should come and know you. And this great privilege that we have of sharing the love of God. 2 Corinthians 2:4, now thanks be unto God, which causes us always to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge, the savor of his, like a savory stew or a savory bouquet garni in a pot of food, or of his knowledge for us in every place, or the fragrance of a beautiful bouquet, a perfumed bouquet. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What do we need victory from? The flesh, the lust of the flesh, you know, the pride of life, and the deceitfulness of the cares and the riches, the world, the flesh, and the devil. This is our conflict. We are in a spiritual warfare. We are in a conflict for our immortality. It is a mortal conflict that we are charged with in this life. This temporary condition that lasts maybe 70 or 80 years at the most. The spiritual warfare in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's the context of this? But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as though, you know, as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Clearly stated here, the warfare that we're engaged in is not a carnal, it's a spiritual battle. And it's over the thought life, pulling down vain imaginations, philosophies, things that exalt itself against knowing God. Ephesians 6:10 and 18 clarifies this further, saying, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This here, this verse 12, is defining the levels of powers, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places that we are wrestling with. Therefore, this is where it's here for. You put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, means walk in the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that our righteousness is from God, and he imparts it, and your feet is shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that in all ways and at all times we are to walk in peace, according to the laws of God's peace, above all taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Okay, the shield of faith. The fiery darts of the wicked are the lies and the poisons, the distortions, the subtle deceptions that come in through our thought life, and taking the helmet of salvation. That is knowing that God has saved us, and it is Him that's willing and working His good purposes according to His mighty power. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then we're praying, God, we are praying for perseverance and supplication for the saints, that you keep them. Spirit, soul, preserve them. Spirit, soul, and body, blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus our Christ. Our thought life is very, very important. 2 Corinthians 10:3, 6. The battle is over the thoughts and what is going on. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But mighty through God, pulling down of strongholds. And what do? Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And how do we know what is obedience to Christ? Because we pray His will, that we might know His will. And His will always lines up with the counsel of what? The Word of the Lord. And if it's not in the Word of the Lord, it is from another realm. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And how's your obedience fulfilled? To the Word and the counsel of the Lord, that you might be preserved blameless. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, realizing that the greatest part of this life stems from your spiritual realm. Now, I want you to know that in this spiritual realm, there are places, high places, places of wickedness, spiritual mountains, dimensional wormholes, stargates for demonic activities. All these things we must be aware of and keep ourselves covered and in obedience to the will of God. Using the blood of Jesus, we cover ourselves on all of our concerns, including those around us, our extended relationships and all of theirs, our ministries, our jobs, our assets, the stewardship of the things God has given us, in order to be prudent and wise over all that we have. Not that these things, all these assets, are ruled and are for the government of His kingdom. And we speak peace to them. We speak peace to you, and peace, that the Prince of Peace may come. Peace is a big part of the kingdom that we proclaim in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What does this mean? There is a peace that is beyond what is going on externally and situationally around us. This is the peace of God, and you need to apprehend this peace if you don't have it. And you do that by coming into repentance and by receiving the place, the gift of God, which is eternal life, for your forgiveness of sins, acknowledging that you have need of a Savior, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. We all need a Savior. We were born in sin and conceived in iniquity. And when we realize this, we come in humility and ask God to forgive us for our sins and to receive the forgiveness by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which makes atonement for our sins and gives us life, everlasting life. And then we walk in Him and God fills us with His peace. This is our sign that we have God in and operating through us. And having peace, Colossians 1:20, through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Oh, I will never forget this pastor who totally misrepresented the blood of the cross and the blood of Jesus. So it's not like some magic wand that you wave around. I'm like, and something in me, there was a mocking. And I thought, something this man is not saying is not right. He has come over under the thought life of the enemy. The enemy hates the blood of Jesus because Jesus' blood is crying out and speaking better things than the blood of Abel, which cries out for revenge. The blood of Jesus is crying out for reconciliation, that all things be reconciled unto Him. In the earth or things in the heavens. John 14:25-27. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, because God gives you peace. Perfect love casts out all fear. Okay? So if your heart is troubled or afraid, then you need the peace of God. You need to make peace with God. And I told you how. You need a Savior. That particular scripture was John 14:25-27, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Follow peace, Hebrews 12:14, with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. How do we get this peace? Through the knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. 2 Peter 1:2. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved and blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are the great prize of eternity when you come in and are possessed by God. You are His inheritance. You are what He died for. The souls of men, I will give His inheritance, is to the ends of the earth. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, Romans 6:20. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the great spiritual conflict waging in the heavenlies. It's over your soul. And the powers of darkness and evil want to drag you to hell and to eternal damnation with them. Because they hate you. They hate God and they hate you. And they are angry with the Lord because He sent His Son to come and die and save you from them and from eternal darkness. But if you choose hell, you choose evil, then you will end up there. I implore you that you choose God. You are the great prize, the bride of the Lord. Let's look at some scriptures in Revelation 12. The whole book of Revelation is the definition of this great cosmic battle. And there was war in heavens. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon's the evil one. And he's Satan in allegory. And the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there any place found anymore in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out. That old serpent, Yeah, last year was the year of the dragon. This year is the year of the snake. Okay, so who are these? Called the devil and Satan. So who worships these things? Those who follow them. His angels who went with him and hit the rebellion against God, and any man that follows him, which deceives the whole world. And what did Jesus said? He is the father of lies. He's a liar, a murderer, and a thief. And he was that way so from the beginning. He was cast out onto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And our job, as we know God, is to tell of others the truth, to bring them out, to sit, raise up and stand and submit to God, to resist evil, and the enemy will flee because of the God will go fight for us. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." This is a reflective passage from the book of Job in the first chapters where Satan comes before God's throne accusing the brothers. Okay, he's not in that position anymore. And how did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. Who's that? Jesus Christ. He made atonement through his shed blood on the cross for our sins if we receive him and walk with him. And by the word of our testimony, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For I'm persuaded. I am persuaded. What are you persuaded of? That nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ in Jesus. The love of God. Let me find the exact because I've been in this. And I this re for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And this is our command. This is our testimony. We do not love our lives unto death because, as it says in the book of Revelation, when Jesus appeared before John. I'm going to read it to you. Revelation chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to be his God and Father, to his God and Father, kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And behold, look, watch. He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And then this is him, he's speaking now, Jesus Christ. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he would not say Dominus Deus, that Caesar is God, so they threw him on Patmos, right? Because his testimony is that See, there isn't God. There's only Jesus Christ alone is God. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as it refined in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades, hell, and death. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 through 19. He alone holds the keys to death and hell. No one else holds those keys. Mighty King, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, Champion of the Cosmos, God above all gods, who is like you, coming, reigning Messiah, bloodstained, faithful and true, crowned with many crowns. Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Lion of the tribe of Judah. You reign, and your glory is forever.